You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I was waiting for the Messi goal call. You're going to get that one later on, Tyler, for us. 500th goal. Quick word here, and this is something very dear to my heart. Before we bring on Ray Hudson of BN Sport, and of course, Ray was an excellent player. I'm sure he's happy about Newcastle also being coming back to the Premier League next year. Pediatric cancer is a big part of my life, supporting it. Friday, June 16th, we've got Norman Whiteside of Manchester United, Northern Ireland, played in the World Cup at 17 years of age. He's coming to Houston, flying across. Bobby Tambling of Chelsea here as well. It's a legendary night with these two guys. Dinner, raffle, auction. It's Friday, June 16th, 6:30. Tom Clare has done some incredible work here, the noted author. I call him a gatekeeper for Manchester United. I know the guys in the room know him as well. Jesus Martinez is with Bayou City Blues. It all benefits the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, cccfund.org. It is a 501c charity. Tickets right now includes a full dinner. It's going to be an amazing night. It's at the DoubleTree 400 Dallas. Tickets right now, 281-812-4805. Find it in your heart to come to this. It benefits pediatric cancer. 281-812-4805. Facebook.com/Houston Red Army. Let's get right now to Ray Hudson. Ray joins us now. Ray, thank you very much for coming on the show.
You're very welcome, Glenn. Always a pleasure. And always happy to help you out, pal.
Well, you know what? You're kind of synonymous with El Clasicos now, and I'm just going to give you forewarning here. I got some of the supporters groups guys who are good friends of mine here in Houston in studio. Eddie Mendoza, Cesar Avellan, and Costa Main are all in here in studio. And the guys from Real Madrid just said, Ray loves Messi too much. I'm going to give you your retort here, Ray. The floor is yours.
You see, this is where these people, your good friends, the knowledgeable soccer fans, are a little bit deluded. I'm not a Messi fan per se. I'm not a Newcastle United fan per se. But what is absolutely certain is that I'm a lover of beautiful football, whether it be Boca Juniors or River Plate, whether it be Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi. The colour doesn't matter. The colours don't matter. Nothing can blame me away from the fact that Messi, in my eyes, Glenn, is the greatest football player I have ever seen in my life. I grew up with Pelé. I played against Pelé. I played with George Best. I played with Gerd Müller against Beckenbauer, Cruyff, on and on.
Oh, you had Cubillas, too. You had Nene.
Nene Cubillas, my old teammate, of course, but there's so many. And so nothing blames me away from the fact, Glenn. And, you know, it sometimes upsets me this attachment that I have with Messi is purely because, in my eyes, he's the most perfect footballer that I've ever seen. And that's including Pelé, who I grew up idolizing, and Maradona. The rest of them, for me, I've said before, you're talking about Mozart playing amongst a set of banjo players. With all due respect to banjo players, there's some good ones out there.
Yeah, there might be a few. You just got a couple of them mad right now. Listen, this was amazing. You and Phil getting to call these games. I mean, it is really remarkable. Are we fortunate in our lifetime to be watching these two guys who drive each other so well, and these two teams that drive each other so well?
Absolutely. We're more than lucky. We're blessed. There's never been a generation in football, never, where there's been two suns in the footballing universe, in the same planetary system. You're looking at Cristiano Ronaldo, phenomenal, a goal-scoring machine, a very gifted footballer, probably the best penalty box predator that's ever existed. And that's including all the great ones, likes of Gerd Müller and some of the gods of the game. Messi's in a different category. It's really comparing apples with oranges. And that part of it will always go on, and there'll be one side of the table and there'll be the other side of the table. And I swear honestly, Glenn, that two of them belong in the same sky together, and we've never had that before. The difference, the birds of a different feather, completely. Nobody can tell me Messi compares with Ronaldo in this or that. They're different players. They are entirely different players. And once people get their heads around that, they can see that we are just, God bless, that we are watching them.
But you know, Ray, there's so much loyalism here that a lot of times people aren't going to get their heads wrapped around that. But you're right. That's what I always say to people. These are two very differing players. Appreciate them for what they are.
Of course, and that's a sensible way. But fans being like, give me their names again, Glenn. What the hell's their names?
I'm going to give you their addresses and phone numbers as well, plus their emails.
Absolutely. And I'll send them a Real Madrid shirt with Cristiano's
we'll get you all the numbers. Eddie Mendoza, Cesar Avellan, and Costa Main are all in here, and two of them are Real Madrid fans. Costa's a Barcelona fan. I want to move you on. Tell me a little bit about the Champions League matchup between Atletico Madrid.
Well, you know, over two legs, it's going to be difficult for Real Madrid, but I still think they'll survive. I think they'll go through. I think they're the best balanced team, and after what we saw today, we saw that they've got the squad. The thrashing of Deportivo La Coruña was absolutely heaven to watch. These young players, that's the future of Real Madrid. That's where Barcelona are way behind the curve against this club, because they have stacked themselves with the future, and they have been handed responsibility, and they have answered the bugle every time. You cannot say that with the Barcelona players that have been bought. So I think that Real Madrid, there's a lot of people saying that over two legs that Atletico will get them. On a one-game situation that they've had before in the finals and ran Real Madrid really close, and then failed at the final hurdle, the final baby's breath, sometimes the last kick of the game. It's been beautiful to watch. I don't think that Atletico Madrid is as good as what the games that they played against Real Madrid in the Champions League final. This is a different Atletico Madrid. It's still top class, and they deserve to be where they are. And I have the utmost respect. Whether Real Madrid is good is an arguable point. But over the two legs, I still believe that Real Madrid will have too much fizz and pizzazz about them in attack. And I'm not sure that Real Madrid will allow that defence to be taken by Atletico Madrid over two legs. It's going to be, Glenn, there's a frog's hair between the two of them over two legs. I get that.
He's Ray Hudson.
I believe the Royal Whites will win.
He's Ray Hudson, BN Sports. And let me tell you another thing. For those of you who may not know deeper in Ray's career, Ray was a fabulous soccer player, very technical midfielder, grew up in northern England. So I got to think you're pretty happy about Newcastle now getting back into the Premier League under Rafa Benitez.
Well, I mean, we're back in heaven. For how long, we'll wait and see. But it's typical Newcastle, Glenn. The news coming out today that Newcastle United have been involved with tax fraud from Her Majesty's government. So they're under investigation. How that's going to impact Rafa Benitez's decision, because there's been a lot wrong with Newcastle United. And it's been all up in the hierarchy. And now it's come back again to haunt us. The players, the manager, the staff have done their job in getting promotion at the first time of asking. But other people have been cheating behind the curtains in terms of tax fraud. And that may affect the player signings. We don't know. Yeah. So that's another black eye for the Magpies. But right now we're in with the big boys, and I just hope they stay up. And they've got to have to buy a raft full of players, because we're not good enough to compete with the big boys quite yet.
Was going to be my next question. I mean, I don't think there's any question. They're going to have to spend in order to stay up there, right? And I mean,
sure.
No questions.
Yeah, no, they've got to. And they've got to hold on to players like Dwight Gayle, you know, who they could sell on for a lot of money after buying them for a bargain. They've got to come to terms with the best players that's in the team, the likes of Shelvey and Mitrovic. But all of them, they don't seem to be quite up to the snuff of what it's going to take. They've got some good, the young American kid, very popular, DeAndre Yedlin, is a very impressive young player with bags of pace, still learning his footballing alphabet, Glenn, still not the finished article, not as good with, you know, his final pass or his first pass sometimes. But he's a good player. He's a good squad player. But my favourite player, I think, along with a lot of Newcastle players, is this kid, Matt Ritchie, who is really up to standards. And he could fit into a lot of the top clubs in the EPL. But there's not many after him that you could say that about. Shelvey, Gale, Mitrovic, you know, Ayoze, Perez. These are good players. And have been good in the championship. I'm not sure that they are good enough without extra support to survive in the EPL.
Ray, listen, I know you had a full day today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I want to do it again, and I also want to get you into some MLS talk. You haven't been a manager in the league too, so the next time we get you on, we're going to cover all bases. And again, thank you for making the effort. I know it was a long day. You had to drive back home. We really do appreciate it.
Oh, that's my pleasure, Glenn. Anytime, and have a pint for me at that King's Court. It sounds like a good place.
Yeah, it's a good spot. We need to get you down to Houston for a Ray Hudson tour. How about that?
All right, man.
Thank you, Ray.
All right. Welcome, Glenn.
So what, I mean, you know, the passion oozes out of Ray Hudson. You got to absolutely love that. You know what we'll do here? Let's take a quick phone call before we go to break. We'll bring the guys back on for a bit. Let's go to Dante. Dante, what's on your mind? You're talking El Clasico, right?
Yeah, talking about Clasico, I just wanted to bring up the ending when Messi takes off his shirt. I wanted to discuss that.
Go for it.
I guess there was a lot of symbolism involved in that, just because of everything that's been going on with Barcelona. You know, with all the refs, with Neymar getting getting suspended three games, not letting him play. You know, him getting bloodied up, and also like. The Ramos entry, like it was, I think it was just that was a moment of frustration, but it was also a moment of like, never forget this, never forget me. And, you know, like, I wanted to see what you had to say.
Well,
about
that game and that moment's going to go down in Barcelona lore. That's indelibly going to be etched in people's minds forever for a long, long time.
Did you see at the Camp Nou today, they actually, a lot of the fans took off their shirts and they put them on. Have you seen that picture yet?
I didn't see that picture yet, but I've seen a lot of stuff. And look, it's an indelible moment. There's no doubt about it. You get your 500th against your greatest individual rival, your greatest team rival. I mean, you can't ask for anything more. It's a magical moment from a magical player.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I just wanted to give a shout out to the Houston Coolers and Vizca Barca, and that's pretty much it.
Okay, now we're getting a little support there for FC Barcelona. Here, Costa's very happy. Thank you very much for the phone call, Dante.
All right,
713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number here. Let's go back and just relive the Messi 500th goal. Guys, sorry, Eddie, Caesar, sorry, but we have to do it. And we would give equal time if it was Ronaldo doing it. You know that, because I'm right down the line. All right, so here's how it sounded here.
His team leading until the death again, and another late dramatic goal from Real Madrid.
Yeah, Ron Sergio Roberto.
This is where the extra man is paying off for Barcelona. One final roll of the dice. Can they hit the jackpot? Gomez. Jordi Alba, Lionel Messi!
Oh my goodness!
Lionel Messi does it again, he's superhuman! Oh. Lionel Messi has just exploded La Liga into life! Another chapter in the incredible story of this little man!
Oh my goodness, you cannot write the script for this, Rob, this is unbelievable stuff! Look at the faces of the Real Madrid fans and the Real Madrid players, unbelievable! It's blown the league wide open.
His 500th goal for Barcelona.
is possibly the most significant one. How much is that shirt worth?
He's got a good boot, but he don't care.
All right, quickly to the phone lines. Chad, what a magical moment that was. What's on your mind, Chad? You got about a minute here,
now,
and then we got to go to break.
Love the show.
What's that, sir?
I had a question. I said, I want to know who the greatest player in the world is right now, Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi?
Well, that's an opinion. The answer's an opinion. I think for the moment, everybody's going to say Messi because he got one over on Ronaldo, but I don't know how to answer that question.
Okay. What about the other people there?
Guys, who's the best player in the world? Well, listen, two of them are Real Madrid and one's Barcelona. What do you think they're going to say?
I'll be honest, not because I'm a Barca fan, but I think Messi is the best player.
Okay, so Costa, who's a Barca fan, says it's Messi. Eddie says it's...
The best player in the world is Cristiano Ronaldo, and everybody knows it.
Was Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, man. He scored 5 goals against Bayern.
So there you go. I mean, that was kind of predictable, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
I appreciate it. That's my question.
Yeah, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it very much. All right, we're leaving. Hey, you know what? We're coming back with Chronics. We're going to do a little Chronics in honor of Lloyd Barker. We'll take a quick break here. Just a quick reminder here. It's our pediatric cancer event. It's Friday, June 16th, a night with Norman Whiteside and Bobby Tamling. Call for tickets, 281-812-4805. You Premier League, United, and Chelsea fans, come on, support us. We're helping children's cancer. 501c charity, Curing Children's Cancer Fund. We'll take a Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
Milo que gana la línea, viene cruzando James. Carvajal, va a llegar la ayuda. Jordi Alba, punto de penalti. Gol de Leo Messi. Gol de Leo Messi sobre la bocina. Segundo de Leo Messi, el Madrid que se había dejado el alma.
All right, welcome back to BBVA Compass Stadium. No, I'm not on TV, I'm on radio. Welcome back to ESPN 97.5, Soccer Matters, self-proclaimed. So this is Chronics, right? Yeah, so Chronics is cool because his reggae is more traditionalist. You know, he's celebrating Jamaica. You know, this is kind of reggae I like. A little, yeah, I guess Peter Tosh was a bit militant. I saw Tosh in concert. He was unbelievable. And, of course, we all love Bob Marley. But Chronics is a fan favorite of Lloyd Barker, who's going to that show tonight. And we'll have Lloyd Barker from the Montreal Gazette on to talk about Toronto FC. Okay, guys, before I let you go, I'm going to start with you, Eddie. Eddie Mendoza in studio here with the Real Madrid Supporters Group. Tell us about an event you guys have coming up here, and I think this is wonderful because you're bringing a lot of supporters groups together.
Yeah, definitely. Glenn, we just want to let everybody know that on May 6th, 2017, it's a Saturday, it's coming up. It's going to be at Papa Rachel's Indoor, which is on 7115 Clairwood Drive, Houston, Texas, 77036. We're going to have the first ever Carlsberg Champions League Cup. So pretty much Carlsberg, they've sponsored the event. Shout out to Clay and all the team. And the way it came about 3 weeks ago, we challenged the Real Madrid Houston Peña challenged the Bayern supporters in a friendly indoor match. We went ahead and took that game about, I think it was 12-11, really close game.
Right,
after that, we had Costa reach out to us on Facebook. He said, hey, I want in on this. So we said, all right, you want to get served too? Let's go. We beat him about... What, 12-7?
Yeah, with the referee. Help the referee.
12-7? And from there...
Guys, come on. We can't waste all this time arguing about your game, and the game was fixed, and the referees...
From there, we just came together. We just came together and said, hey, let's just do a round-robin tournament. So we're going to have the Real Madrid Houston Peña, the Houston Culés, the Bayern Munich supporters, and the Liverpool supporters. They're all going to get together. We're going to have round-robin, winner-take-all.
Where's it going to be?
It's going to be at Papa Rocha's Indoor in... It's going to be
is that on 59?
7-1-1-5 Clairewood Drive.
Right, tell me when that is. I want to come out and watch that.
Saturday,
that could be better than the El Clasico.
It's going to be Saturday.
It could be better than the El Clasico.
Saturday, May 6th, and it starts at 1 and it ends at 4.
And I would say if there are any other supporters groups out there for any other team, Spurs or anybody, you guys want
definitely.
This is the place to go.
This is the first annual. It's four teams. Eventually, we like it for it to grow, so it's an open invite to the guys, Man United, Chelsea, Tottenham, all the guys, supporter groups, come check it out. And if you want to be part of the next one, we'll get it together.
All right, we'll thank help you. Glenn. I'll help you promote it here, Eddie. We'll talk after the show tonight. Caesar, thank you for coming in. Eddie, thank you for coming in. Costa, thank you for coming in, baby.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting.
I love having you guys in here. The passion oozes out of all of you. It's a wonderful thing. And again, I think with you guys combining with all the supporters groups, I think you're going to make something really good happen.
Definitely.
You're going to make an impact
thank
in this
you.
Community. You can do it. All right. Thank you, guys. Victor, make sure we get a picture with Costa and the guys all together here before they leave. All right, we're going to go to the phone line. This is a guy we know very well. I have a feeling. Yasko, what's on your mind, Yasko?
Hey, how's it going, Glenn? Thank you for having me.
Buddy, I'm sorry about the knee.
Hello?
I'm sorry about your knee. The ACL.
Oh, no problem.
Okay. Yeah, it still bothers
part me. Part of life. Part of the beautiful game.
It still bothers me. Well, that wasn't very beautiful. What's on your mind, Yasko? Good to hear your voice. What's up?
Absolutely. Well, I just want to talk about, obviously, the big game, El Clasico, and what your take is on technology within the game. I mean, we've seen some very questionable calls over the last couple of weeks, and, I mean, even the World Cup. So I just want to see what your take is on why the big leagues and FIFA and UEFA are all hesitant to implement technology when it could make the beautiful game even more beautiful. It would take out all the controversy.
Well, I think a lot of these things take a long time, Yasko, to implement. I think Major League Soccer, after the All-Star break, is going to implement it. I think it has to be done selectively, but I think, you know, people don't want, you know, it's all across the board as to how much technology, if any, people want. I have friends that, despite seeing obvious offside calls and things that really... in the vein of things, have changed games and made referees more important than players and managers. I have guys that are like, look, I don't want any technology. I'd rather live with the mistakes. And I think if it's used selectively, it can be effective. I think there's just too much money at stake now. I think there's just too much at stake now not to get the obvious things correct. I'm not saying it can't be micromanaged, but the obvious things have to be get correct.
And I was an old school guy too. I didn't want technology, but when you look at it, the calls tend to favor the bigger teams.
I don't think there's any question, and that's a theory. I mean, that is a theory, and it's not just Real Madrid, it's not just Barcelona, it's Manchester United, it's all the bigger teams. And you know, what does that mean? Are there conspiracy theories, or is it the pressure of being in those big teams in their buildings? You know, I think what we all want as soccer fans is we want it determined by the players and the coaches. And that's why I go back to that Champions League game with Real Madrid. And with all due respect, guys, there were some calls in that game that made it all about an official. It didn't make it about the players. I want the managers and the players to decide it. That day I felt cheated. And I'll tell you why I felt cheated, because I wanted to see Real Madrid, who was under intense pressure from Bayern Munich, get themselves out of that at that point. And I didn't want it to be a Vidal sending off that would change the course of the day. And then, let's face it, everybody was talking about the referee after it. And look, I do understand that happens. It's not the first time. We can go back to Barcelona scoring all those goals late in the match against PSG and people bringing out conspiracy theories there as well. So it's not like it was the first time. And by the way, I have a little bit more if you're PSG and you concede that many goals in 8 minutes, something's wrong with you too, you know? So it's tough. We'll see where it's going to go. I think it's going to be a part of it. The only thing that really concerns me from a standpoint of the integrity of the game is I think the World Cup is going to become huge. I think it's going to get diluted. I think it's all because they want more people participating in it, more countries, and there's too much money to be earned now. And that, I'm not sure. I don't think I want a massive World Cup. I want the World Cup to be special, unique, and to only come around once in a while.
I agree, and I was against the Euro expanding as well. I mean, a third place team should not be advancing to the next stage.
of a competition.
It gets watered down. I mean, it's like a lot of these leagues too. And I'm not talking about European football right now. I'm just talking about sports in America and even MLS. Is there enough consequence in regular season games? Or, you know, can you lose and can you go, well, it's a long season. We got the 34 games and, you know, we can turn it on and sneak into the playoffs and then win a title. I'm kind of mixed when it comes to all that. I do like everybody still having possibility, but I also want consequence. If you've played lousy for 4 or 5 games, you should suffer, right? And that's healthy pressure that should come. Yasko, anything else real quick? Because I got to get off here and get to a commercial
break. I just wanted to give a shout-out to all the guys in the studio. They're doing a great job promoting the soccer community in Houston. Unfortunately, Eddie, I will not be able to square off against you on May 6th. I will be overseas in Europe. So best of luck to the Bayern Munich supporters. So I know they'll take it. But, again, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Yasko, by the way, you live a pretty charmed life. Every time I see something about you, you're in some exotic foreign country. Is there something you need to tell me?
Wait, what was that? I'm sorry.
I said every time I see you, you're in some exotic foreign land. Is there something you need to tell me?
Life is short. Travel as much as you can. Experience as many cultures as you can.
I'll tell you what, that's a tremendous answer. Yasko, great to hear your voice. I hope to see you soon.
We love you, Yasko.
Thank you.
Yasko, they love you.
Bye, guys.
See you, buddy. All right, we're going to take a break. Again, my thanks, Costa. Thank you very much. Caesar, thank you very much. Eddie, thank you very much. You guys are a credit to the passion of soccer. And very much thankful and grateful that you guys could make it in here tonight. We appreciate that. All right. When we come back, I guess it's our final segment, right, Tyler? We're going to go to Lloyd Barker. We're going to start talking a little bit of Dynamo Toronto FC and a lot of things that are happening there tonight. We'll take a break. More to come. Oh, I got 90 seconds, so I can hit a couple of reads here. Let's do that because we do have to thank our great sponsors here. Let me jump into Liberty Kitchen here. Passionate about great food. I think of it as modern American comfort food. Classics taken up several notches. Great burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, mom's spaghetti chowder. Liberty Kitchen staples, deviled eggs with fried oysters, Dixie fried chicken. The gumbo is a must. You got to get the blue crab with it. Oysters on the half shell, cowboy surfers, steaks, ribs, fish. That rounds out the menu. Weekday specials, signature cocktails, and beer. It's Liberty Kitchen. Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, and the Treehouse. Again, another hit here for what is an incredible night. It's a legendary night with Norman Whiteside, the former Manchester United Northern Ireland player, and Bobby Tambling of Chelsea. It's being presented by the Houston Red Army and Tom Clare, Jesus Martinez, and the Bayou City Blues. It all goes towards the 501c charity Curing Children's Cancer Fund, which is basically a nonprofit that all that money taken in goes to pediatric cancer research down at Texas Children's Hospital. 281-812-4805 for tickets. 281-812-4805 for tickets. If you're a Manchester United fan or a Chelsea fan, you got to be at this. June 16th, tickets 281-812-4805. Bud Light break right now.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Owner to be swung in by Alexander. Hugo Torres going up. Oh, and the keeper misses, and it's tucked in on the back post. It's Albert Ennis.
That was the Panther 2-0 Dynamo home win here tonight. We can talk some Dynamo as well as El Clasico. 713-780-3776. We welcome you back to the show. It was great having those guys in studio. Eddie, Caesar, Costa, great guys. We appreciate them. The passion that these guys bring here, and I'm wearing their scarves here, pretty incredible. We can talk Champions League semifinals as well. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. 713-780-3776. So let's line some phone calls up here in this final segment. There is a ton to talk about, and I'll tell you, I haven't even been able to get to half of the things I wanted to get to tonight here because we did get pretty into the El Clasico. So, floor is yours. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. All right, so we got the semifinals lined up for the Champions League. We do know who that is, and Monaco is one of the teams. Let's go to Pablo. Pablo, what's on your mind? Pablo.
Hey, Glenn, this is Pablo Ortiz. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air, Pablo. What's on your mind?
First of all,
Pablo? Yeah, Pablo, we're having a hard time hearing you. Can you call back again, please? Maybe we can get a better line. Okay, we lost Pablo. We had a bad line there. All right, so let me talk about the Dynamo, the 2-0 win over San Jose, and the importance of Wilmer Cabrera. He's calm, he's focused, he's grounded, he's very different than the prior two managers that Dynamo has had. He was the man for the job, hands down. So what did he do? Tactical switch against San Jose. Went back to a 4-4-2. You can call it a 4-3-1-2, whatever you want. We all know what it was. It protected the back four better. It improved the team shape. But it also allowed the Dynamo to get another home win here, and then also it was a shutout. So the Dynamo got that first clean sheet of the season. You want to talk Dynamo right now. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. And Tyler, before I get out of this segment, make sure I get in game on for 90 because it does address Wilmer Cabrera. So the pros of the 4-4-2, it brought balance to the midfield against San Jose. It brought protection to the back four. It brought a strong team shape. I actually think it might have surprised San Jose a little bit, who might have been expecting the full pressing game from the Houston Dynamo in that one. I don't think there's any question. But in the future, could we see Wilmer Cabrera, because we've seen these great first halves with tons of chances and goals, could Wilmer Cabrera go in the first 45 at BBVA Compass Stadium with the pressing 4-3-3, with Elise and Manotas and Kyoto and Torres, a part of that front three, and then in the second half, drop a player off into midfield? That's a real distinct possibility. So it's broad possibility. So the 4-4-2 against San Jose, and by the way, both the goals were scored off set pieces. Torres from the penalty spot, the Panther off a corner. The Dynamo did not create a lot of chances during the run of the play in this. In fact, 30 minutes in, they had one shot on goal, and that was the penalty kick. So we do have to be pro and con on this. The con is they lost a lot of their wide game. They didn't create a lot of chances. And remember, this was a San Jose team, third game in 9 days. So I think before we jump through the moon, we have to be reminded of what type of litmus test this was. And that's not taking anything away from the Dynamo or what can be learned from this. But this was a very fatigued San Jose. Fewer chances, wide game not as effective. So you sacrifice the wide game to a degree. DeMarcus did get forward a few times, Beasley. Kevin Garcia, a little bit, not much. So let's keep it all in perspective. This game against Toronto FC is going to be a big, big test on the road, thankfully on a grass surface. When the Dynamo take on a team that's got Sebastian Giovinco right now, who's toughest guy in Major League Soccer to play against. Breaks down lines, creates his own chances, dangerous off free kicks, part of the buildup. It's a very difficult game. And it's a great test again. And I think the Dynamo have learned that they can move in and out of some differing systems. I was surprised that Wilmer Cabrera went to the 4-4-2 against San Jose, and I love that. I like being surprised because we haven't been surprised here for a number of years. And this makes it great for the media. It makes it great for us storyline-wise. 713-780-3776. What do you think of the job being done by Wilmer Cabrera? 713-780-3776. And you know what? As we line a few phone calls up here again at 713-780-3776, let's hit game on for 90 here, Tyler. And let me take you a little bit further into what I think about Wilmer Cabrera and the job he's doing. So we're going to kind of deconstruct Wilmer Cabrera.
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90.
Presented by Bud Light.
Game on. All right, I'm on the clock. I want to talk about Wilmer Cabrera, the Colombian manager of the Houston Dynamo. Now, when he was named, there were many who did not agree with the choice. I was not one of them. For me, Cabrera was always the first-choice manager. Experience with Major League Soccer, experience with U.S. youth national teams meant he was also a teacher, which in Major League Soccer is essential with young players. But I also knew he had the added caveat of connections in Central America, Mexico, South America, having played in the Colombian First Division, and for the Colombian national team. It was a full package. And yes, it was time for the Dynamo to move the needle to the passionate Hispanic fan in a bigger way. And that means playing style, purpose of play. And Cabrera has done that so far. So yesterday when Major League Soccer published its salaries, you could see Wilmer Cabrera's influence all over the Dynamo roster from the perspective of salary cap. Now you see why GM Matt Jordan moved on the large salary of Giles Barnes. Barnes has moved on, and guess what you got? You got Kyoto and Elise. Genius, right? Cabrera is very different as a manager. Calm demeanor. Yet inside, you see it burns intensely. He has the players' belief right now as much as he believes in them. The Dynamo product on the field has been improved thanks to Cabrera and what he brings to the table. The Dynamo deserve applause for his hiring. Now they have to back it up off the field with marketing, promotion, engagement, and to bring some life back to BBVA Compass Stadium. And no, as much as you want to believe it, just winning is not going to do it. That's a big component of it, but they're going to need to do more than that. And last but not least, Cabrera has made it fun to be a commentator and a media member in Houston. With his roster selection, changing of tactics, his purpose of play, there's storylines out there daily for those in the media. Now, the question remains how to get more out of the mainstream. That's a whole nother topic. But I've got a lot of ideas. For the time being, I'm keeping them to myself. But Wilmer Cabrera has moved the Dynamo into a more interesting vein, a place where they're at least winning at home now. Now they got the litmus test of Toronto FC on Friday. But they're in a winning place for the moment in Major League Soccer. And they're entertaining at home. Take out the San Jose game. How to create more interest for the club in Houston remains elusive. That is Game On for 90, brought to you by Bud Light. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. So we will have bonus interviews with Eric Zavaleta, the Toronto FC center back, and also with Lloyd Barker of the Montreal Gazette, the former Montreal Impact player. We're going to put those bonus interviews up at podcastarena.com. You will also be able to get them, at podcastarena.com. That'll be the place to go to get those. And they're both very good interviews. In fact, Zavaleta will tell you of his time at Chivas USA when Wilmer Cabrera was his coach. And Wilmer Cabrera actually turned him into a center back. So again, we'll take more phone calls, 713-780-3776. It was wonderful having supporters group members in studio here tonight. Eddie Mendoza, Cesar Avellan, and Costa Main in studio talking about what supporters groups are and what they can do here in Houston, Texas. Again, the switching system with Wilmer Cabrera, what do you think he's going to do in Toronto on Friday night? Midfield compact again? You know, he could start in a 4-3-3 for the counterattack. He could play Elise and Kyoto, drop them a little deeper in midfield to combat the five-man midfield of TFC, who's likely going to come out in the 3-5-2. Now the question is, will Kyoto and Elise do enough defending for you? Or he can go to that 4-4-2, which we saw. But that means you're going to leave on the bench some good attacking talent. So I think the possibilities, quite frankly, I don't know what Wilmer Cabrera is going to do right now. I do know he's going to have to contend with a five-man midfield. Let's go to the phone lines. Josh. Josh wants to talk Dynamo. What's on your mind, Josh? How are you?
Hey there. Hey, Glenn. How's it going, man?
Very good, Josh.
I just wanted to call and talk about, you know, I really like the two central defending midfielders in this last game. I think it really helped relieve a lot of that pressure on the back four. And truthfully, just from what you were saying about starting the game at a 4-3-3 with our full-on pressing attack and then switching it into the second half, it's essentially kind of a second team almost. Why wouldn't he try that in Toronto?
Well, I don't know. He may try that in Toronto. I don't know what he's going to do, and that's why I think he's been fun to be a manager. Now, look, I want you to remember the 4-4-2 went up against a very tired San Jose. I'm not taking anything away from the Dynamo, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What was sacrificed was a lot of wide game and chances. Now, we know every home game the Dynamo have created a boatload of chances in the first half and have scored goals. So at home, the theory of going 4-3-3 for the first 45, turning it on, poured it on the opponent, and then dropping into a four-man midfield after that could make sense. It's statistically on paper, it backs it up. Now, what he does on the road in Toronto, I don't know, but it is possibility. But I do want you to know, the 4-4-2 against San Jose, the Dynamo weren't that dangerous in the run of play. I'm sorry.
Absolutely, and that goes to say, you know, I mean, throw a curveball at this team in Toronto and start with the 4-3-3, get as many goals as you can in the first half, and then essentially tuck back and absorb the pressure in the second half.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to create that many chances on the road. We'll see. But I think there's some real element of surprise as to how the Dynamo and Wilmer are going to approach this in Toronto. This is a big game for them. Toronto's coming off one of their best games of the year. Jovinko's on fire right now. Bradley had an outstanding game in midfield for TFC. And, of course, Josie Altidore is a target man up front that will take some real attention as well. So I think the only way you defend Jovinko is obviously keeping your lines tight, and it has to be a collective effort because this guy is mobile. He's all over the place. I'm going to put up a little bit later a move that he was a part of that they didn't score on that really accents his movement, mobility, and his brain. The guy thinks on another level. I would pay big money to see that guy each and every week. The people in Toronto are lucky that Sebastian Jovinko's there.
They have arguably one of the best players, if not the best player in MLS history right now. And I'm right there with you. I'm really jealous about it.
It's okay. We've got a better product down here. We're pretty happy. We got some guys like Kyoto, Elise, and Torres back.
Oh,
in.
Absolutely.
All right, Josh.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for the phone call.
Hey, thank you, Soccer Matters.
All right. I love it, Josh. All right, quickly, Pablo. You're on the air, Pablo. We got 2 minutes. What's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn. How's it going, man? I'm a big fan.
Hey, thank you very much for calling the show, Pablo.
Yeah, just want to give a shout-out to all my Houston culés. My buddy Costa's in the house, and those are Real Madrid guys.
Bunch of great guys, and, you know, these supporters groups, I just love what they're doing for the sport and getting together doing stuff and how nice and social it is, and it's awesome. So what's on your mind?
Yeah, do you think, like I was going to say, do you think that there needs to be, like, a major overhaul in the refereeing? Maybe not at a local level when it comes to, European leagues, because each league is run by their own FA. But do you think, like, at least on the Champions League, there needs to be, like, a revampment of refereeing at all? Because, you know, we attack each other as fans as, you know, oh, he dove, but it's just bad refereeing all around.
Well, there's about a minute left, and it's a question that can't be answered in a minute, but I don't think there's any question. The Champions League has taken a major hit this year with some of the refereeing and the controversy and the fact that referees and not players and managers are deciding games. So I think that's something certainly everybody's looking at. The Champions League knows it. Real problems with the Real Madrid-Bayern game. Some might even talk about the Barcelona comeback as well. It's not the first time it's happened. But I think the simple answer is going to be technology. I've got to let you go, and I thank you very much, Pablo, for bringing that up. We can talk about it next Wednesday, all right? Thank you so much for calling.
All right, thank you for having me on. Have a good one.
Soccer Matters.
All right. I appreciate that. I love that. Soccer Matters. You call in, you say Soccer Matters, right? That's a good thing. Okay. That'll do it for tonight. I thank Tyler Scott. Podcastarena.com for the podcast. iTunes as well. I'll see you next Wednesday. I'm Glenn Davis. And we are out.
ESPN 97.5.